Here is Bill Resnick with Michael Hanna.
Hi, Michael Hanna. Welcome to KABU.
Thank you, Bill, for having me on your show.
Michael Hanna describes himself as a data engineer, an alchemist, post-carbon economy trailblazer, and dreamer. He has worked with digital networks, natural networks, and human networks for his entire adult career. He is now campaign manager for the Municipal Broadband PDX campaign. He also directs the Municipal Broadband Coalition of America, which is growing rapidly. Municipal broadband is the topic of today. As to making a living, Michael Hanna is employed working for Multnomah County as a business intelligence architect, data engineer. For 6 years, he was president of AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Local 88, that represents 3,800 Multnomah County workers, and that was in a period of extreme difficulty for the city and strife and struggle by the union. Michael, that bio demonstrates, at least to me, that you're one of those new Generation X millennial workers in technology to boot, also in politics, one of those folks who find major social change, call it transformation, the idea of radical democracy, as very attractive and possible and, of course, necessary. And that makes you and your fellow millennials the hope for the future.
But it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us bringing our best selves and our knowledge experience to the table.
And our intelligence and commitment. So, Michael, tell us about municipal broadband and the Multnomah County campaign.
Great. So I'll start with to say that publicly owned fiber optic internet utilities have been around, municipal broadband, and now some people use the term community broadband, have been around for at least 20 years. One of the first in the United States was Chattanooga, Tennessee in 1999, and they installed a fiber optic network, and it's been hugely successful there. And since then, about 300, at least 300 communities in the United States have their own fiber optic internet utility of some sort in now, and it's growing. Our specific campaign here in Multnomah County began formally the night that net neutrality was repealed by the FCC. So in November of 2017, the FCC finally repealed net neutrality, and that really was the formal launch of our campaign, where we said the only way we're going to be able to have permanent net neutrality and have full control of our internet access is to have it ourselves, our own it ourselves, our community.
And not rule out left radical voices.
Allow, you know, net neutral means that the voices and the content and the flow of the information over the network is not throttled.
Yeah.
It's not throttled anyway. It's neutral in terms of the content. And
yeah,
that's a really key core value of the internet.
KABU could be called extremist, especially this program. Tell us first, Chattanooga's fiber optic. What does that mean? What does it mean for the citizens? And how is it done? These are really fiber optic lines, right?
Yeah. Yep, exactly. So basically, the core backbone network of the world's internet runs over fiber optic cables. And the fiber optic cables go from state to state and country to country. And they go under the ocean. There's these transatlantic, transpacific cables that go. And they basically connect the world's internet runs on fiber optics. Now, when you get into connectivity to the home, most internet connections in the home today are either over the wired cable line, which is what Comcast uses to connect you to the internet, is the old cable lines, or the phone lines, which are the twisted pair copper phone lines that have been in decades in our homes. That's what CenturyLink uses to connect you to the internet over the copper lines. So what we're looking to do is run a new set of lines, fiber optic cables, all the way to the home.
All the way to the home. And so the people of Chattanooga, though, would then have to have a router or whatever it is in their home. Some kind of device that then...
Exactly. So it's basically the way it works today. Like today, if you have Comcast, you have a router that connects you to the internet at your home. Same with CenturyLink. If you're here, you have it over your phone lines. This would be a third type of connection to the home, which is a fiber optic cable. And it's literally a cable of glass that carries signals of light. So it's extremely fast and very high capacity.
And it picks up all of this stuff. If you Google the trillions and trillions of things that you can look at.
Yep, exactly.
It seems inconceivable, but I guess it happened, so I can't argue with it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The fiber optic cables have such amazing capacity to carry information, and that's literally, like I was saying, when United States is connected to Europe, for example, that connection between the United States and Europe runs over fiber optic cables, and all of the information that's transmitted over the internet back and forth is over these fiber optic cables.
From billions of sources.
Yep, yep. It's mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing, but I guess it's technically, that's what the protons and all the little atomic particles, a billion of them smaller than a hair or whatever it is, that's what they do or that you're harnessing. One thing, though, what about homes that don't have money for a router?
Yeah, so the whole thing that we're trying to do is create a community-controlled, and we can talk about that soon, about how that would be governed, but a community-controlled fiber optic network so that every home and business can have fiber optic cables all the way to their premises. And I think you touched on the affordability, and that's a really core driving factor for this, is that we want to make sure that everyone in our community has access. And so if certain households are low income, that would that access to the internet, to the fiber optic network, would be subsidized access. So no matter what, our goal is to have everybody in, nobody out, so that everyone has access. Currently in Multnomah County, almost 30% of low income households and elderly households do not have internet.
Oh, but 70% of people do already at homes. Now, that's paid for in a bill that goes to, I don't know who, Verizon, Comcast, somebody or other. The bill is pretty high, actually.
Most of the internet access today is profit. So the three primary home internet providers are Comcast, CenturyLink, and Frontier Fios, Frontier Internet. And most of their cost is most of the bill that we pay is profit to them, and most of that goes to out-of-state corporations, those three out-of-state corporations. And so in Multnomah County, it's an estimated $225 to $250 million a year that is actually sucked out of our local economy in profit. And so this is really about creating a local internet utility, community broadband internet utility, where we want to keep as much as possible of that money in the local economy. So it benefits local people and not these out-of-state corporations.
What would the subscription fee be that would go to the city as compared to how much we're paying to the big providers?
We won't know for sure until the feasibility study comes back. But fundamentally, the goal is that homes are paying the same or less than they're paying now, and for much better quality service. So there's no comparison. The best internet connectivity in the world is fiber optic networks. It's just the fastest, highest quality.
And that's not what we're getting now. Oh, we're getting on these copper lines.
Yep, we're getting on these copper lines, exactly. And it's a metallic infrastructure, and the speeds can't compare to fiber optic speeds. Nothing compares to fiber optic speeds. And then also, you've got these wireless companies, like you mentioned, AT&T and Verizon, all these wireless companies that power our mobile phones that give us connectivity also, and they charge very high rates for very low quality service. And the wireless can never compare to fiber optics. Fiber optics is the world's best internet connection.
They would still have cell phones because you could carry a computer with you, right? Some of these things are, a cell phone that can be essentially a computer now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right on. I mean, it's the technology is all converging where it really is just, you know, these phones are just mini computers.
But with the cell phone, it would not be connected by wire. So, but would it pick up the internet then as the person was pathetically watching it while they're sitting in a lecture taught by some friend of mine. It's very discouraging when you have all of your students looking at these damn things. Are they going to be able to do that?
The wireless devices, the cell phones, and all the addiction of these devices, that's a whole other conversation.
You're talking about home, and that would be another, but it probably could ultimately at some point fit in and also lower the bill that way if people want to live that kind of life of being always connected everywhere at every second.
Yeah.
Anyway. This is KBOO Radio. Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole. I'm talking to Michael Hanna, who is the campaign manager for Municipal Broadband PDX. He also directs the Municipal Broadband Coalition of America. He's here talking about municipal broadband and its many advantages. We've talked about just the money advantage, the speed advantage, and a lot of the complications. At lesser cost, there's also the advantage of the money stays in the community rather than going to Goldman Sachs and the big banks. Michael, there is opposition, and they say, how can you justify putting something under the management of the state? They're completely incompetent and ineffective, and they'll run everything into the ground, whereas private industry is innovative and wonderful, and even they have... They're the entrepreneurs who developed this technology, which, of course, is utterly absurd. It was all the technology all came out of government grants and military grants to small little people who did some of the technicians who did the work. The internet and the computer are a product of good investments by the state. But that's what they say. How do you deal with that issue? We can't afford to have the state take over such an important function.
Yeah, well,
that's what they say. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great topic of discussion. So if we went back 100 years ago, almost the exact same discussions were happening around electricity and water. So most of our electricity and water was privately owned in America 100 years ago. And the same exact arguments were happening. Oh, we can't trust our government to run our utility, our electric, our water. It's such critical infrastructure. Well, I would argue that our connectivity, our internet connectivity, is now our critical infrastructure for the 21st century. And so just like we had to transition to publicly owned water and electricity or regulated utilities like Portland General Electric, we eventually
highly regulated monopolies.
Highly regulated monopolies.
Yeah, who are not who it seems to me, though, have captured the regulators. That's another problem.
Right. That's where with the internet connectivity and the internet utilities, I think we have 100 years of history to draw from, and we want to do it differently in the internet world.
No one wants private water utilities. There's a few places that did it and then reversed.
Yeah,
quickly they had to reverse the because those people want to make money. They then raise rates and they invest only in rich neighborhoods. What do you
Exactly. And we recognize that with the water, the flow of water. And so we're now in this transition where we're recognizing that with the flow of information. Same kind of thing.
Right.
Where we want to have free flow of information that is regulated in a way that benefits the community.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're trying to do.
How would the system become accountable? And the private companies, of course, are not accountable, except to some extent through the contract that gets negotiated through people that they contribute money to and control in other ways. The city mothers and fathers want to keep the companies happy. Michael, talk about accountability. How do we ensure that they're accountable?
Yeah, so I think you make really key points about corporate power and corporate control and elected officials. And there's many different models of how we can do community broadband. But the model that I'm personally in favor of is a hybrid model where the physical infrastructure, in this case, it's the fiber optic cables and the network equipment, the physical infrastructure is publicly owned, and it's owned as a utility, and it's just kind of a public good. And then the services that are run over that network are private for-profit services, but it's a very controlled access way. So from the physical network, we have our elected officials, and we can have citizen oversight and, you know, accountability of that network. And then we can also set the values that we're trying to set within our network of who runs the services. So if the service is internet access or streaming digital television or voice phone access or new emerging services like telehealth, where you can have live video conferencing with your doctor, these services would be run by for-profit companies, and they're held accountable, where if they don't perform, they can be kicked off the network. And you can have a community review of those services on periodic intervals. And really, that's core of how this is so different from corporate controlled, where corporate controlled, for example, Comcast, they own the network and they own the service, and there's really almost zero accountability.
And there's no net neutrality, is
yep.
there?
No net neutrality.
You began with that early on. They can cut off whoever they want, and apparently the Supreme Court thinks that that's, of course, accurate. Then.
Yep, and that's where we can build into our network the rules that we want to have from that day one. For example, we can say permanent net neutrality forever on our network, that we will not throttle the content on the network. We can also build in privacy rules so that we really protect the privacy of residents and businesses, which is another thing in the corporate networks. Our data, our browsing history, everything is mined by these corporations and then resold, because that data has value.
Right. And you can't have privacy rules. You're going to get the last word, Michael, although I reserved the opportunity to say something.
Sure.
Okay. I'm talking to Michael Hanna, who directs the Municipal Broadband Coalition of America, and important to us, he's the campaign manager for the Municipal Broadband PDX campaign, which has a feasibility study going all over. It's probably going to say this would be good for you. How do we win it, though? It's one thing to get a good feasibility study. It's another to actually implement the system.
Yeah, so it's all about community organizing, really. At the end of the day, if our community wants this, we have to organize and push for it. And the feasibility study, as you said, that'll look at the economics of it, the technical challenges, the issues about building this out. But really, it's about what does the community want? And when the feasibility study comes back, we have to be organized as a community and say, if we want this for our community, we have to push for it as community. Also, there's the chance of sending it to the ballot for a vote of the public. And that's been done in multiple cities. Fort Collins, Colorado did that. It went to the ballot and the residents voted overwhelmingly to support a public community broadband.
You know, that's likely to happen, isn't it? Indeed, the city council here or Multnomah County or whoever, the various municipalities that would have to vote, they all may decide they would prefer to have a county referendum. Can a county do a referendum as well? I guess it can, yeah.
Yep.
That they would rather, or a city initiative or whatever, the various ways of doing it. They may all just kick the can, which is good. Then you have the discussion of it. And the companies are going to come in with billions of dollars. This is have to be a grassroots campaign.
Yep, exactly. Because the three main internet companies now in Portland Metro, Comcast, CenturyLink, and Frontier, they would stand to lose hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of years, and they're going to fight it every way they can. But really, this is about our community and what do we want as a community. And whatever we do here will affect our community and our connectivity, the digital infrastructure, for decades. And so we really want to design this right and do what's right for our community.
How do they contact the Municipal Broadband Coalition?
So we have a website. It's www.municipalbroadbandpdx.org. That's one option. Also on Facebook, we are Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at PublicNetPDX.
PublicNetPDX. But you can also get you just by Googling, right?
Yep.
If you forget that, you just...
If you just Google
Municipal Broadband PDX. Portland PDX,
you can
will
find us.
Wind up getting a way of getting even more detail. Michael Hanna, it's been great talking to you today. Keep up your many, wear your many hats with distinction.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.